There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Refuge.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to part two of our preview review podcast. Once again, you've got Archie in the host chair, joined, as always, by my good friend and yours, Zeno. Welcome, mate, to part two.
Thanks, Art. Do I have to be here for this one?
It's pretty poor, isn't it?
Just been through the run sheet, flicking through it here, and all I can see is red, Arch. Red, yes. And more red. So this is going to get ugly fast, I have a feeling.
Yep. So for those that didn't listen to the part one recap, please go back and listen to that. And don't forget, make sure you just subscribe to the audio feed so that you get every single podcast come down the tube into your ear holes. And what we're doing is recapping our predictions from earlier in the season where we did our over-under podcast. And for part two, we were joined by Doss. Now, I used to say he was part of the Draft Doctors team, but he hasn't been doing that much lately.
No.
So I don't know what he's doing. He's probably playing a lot of NBA 2K21. But he is still very active on Twitter and always providing some great content. So he joined us for this one, and it was a lot of fun to have him on as well.
Absolutely. I don't know what Doss is about. Still see him on Twitter and have a chat, but I don't know. Maybe Statesman finally got to him. We'll have to see later on.
Maybe. All right. So we're starting off down Doss's way, actually, in Adelaide with the Adelaide Crows. Now, they finished stone cold motherless last, Zeno, and for quite a long time of the season, it looked like they weren't going to win a game, but they actually strung together. Was it three in a row?
Oh, I think it was two in a row. Two in a row and then one afterwards. Yeah, I don't think it was three in a row.
Yeah, so three wins and 14 losses they finished on. Now, I set the line here at 6.5 Corona ball. Have a guess, Sano. I went over.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd do that, but
oh, my God. I was pretty positive, I think, on Adelaide. I thought 2019 was going to be the aberration. Turns out it's starting to look like they were just sliding down that slippery slope quicker than what we thought. You and Doss both went the under, and you even said you see him pushing for bottom three this year. Little did we know it was actually going to be three wins.
Exactly.
Bottom three, Zeno. So how did you see the season from the Crows? Is there any upside?
Yeah, there's upside there because they're cleaning out the list now. That club, a bit like North Melbourne, I think have got top to bottom issues at the moment. Yep. The good news is Adelaide recognised it 2 years ago and are trying to work through it. So I feel that they've probably bottomed out now, Arch.
They can't go any further down.
You can because you get zero wins for a year. But look, I think they've probably bottomed out now and they'll start to rebuild a bit of culture. The club's got a good history of culture there. So, you know, I think with a few guys like Rue at the helm that's helping out a lot and guys like that, they might build that culture back up and we might see them start to build something again for, you know, it might take them 4, 5, 6 years again, but start to build from the bottom up again, I think.
Yeah, well, as I say, Zeno, they can't go too much worse. They can go a little bit worse, but not too much. I actually think Rue's part of the problem. I don't think that...
At times, yeah.
You know, he's part of the regime, I guess, that got them in this situation. And he doesn't seem to do himself any favours on Adelaide radio in the morning either. So.
He doesn't. No, social media is not much chop either at times.
Yep.
He takes the bait a little bit too often. let's put it that way. But his mind, I think, around football and around the football club is pretty good. So
yep.
That's where he should just do his job there. But that's cool. All right, Arch. Now, a little bit different this week. We'll get to all of our scoring fantasy-wise stuff at the end. But we're going to move on to Port Adelaide now, the Crosstown Rivals. So this is going to be interesting. They finished first for the year. Now, they won 14 games and lost three and lost the preliminary final to, of course, the reigning or the premiers in the end to Richmond by 6 points in a bit of a blinder. You set the line at 9.5, which is Corona 7.3. Now, this is one that you got way off because most of us did, though. They had 14. For some reason, yep. we both went the unders on that arch. And DOS went the over. But if I remember the discussion right, even DOS said over, but only just, you know. So, interesting year from Port Adelaide. What did you make of that?
Yeah, so we spoke on the last episode, Zano, about St Kilda and how they've just got a really solid team all round. And this is Port Adelaide, I think, are what St Kilda will aspire to be next year. Because Port Adelaide, again, they don't have any out-and-out superstars. I think it was Travis Boak finished top in the Brownlow for the Power once again.
Yeah.
And look, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, but he's not in the same echelon as some of those other, you know, top of the competition greats there. But what we saw was their bottom end players, so your Rosies, your Butters, you know, the second year players Dersma. There, they've really brought the bottom of the team up and lifted them.
Yeah.
And we saw at different times very good players like Rocky at one stage once again got dropped. But again, Rocky, without being the superstar that he once was a solid contributor.
Yeah.
So I think if they can, at the start of the season, we were discussing whether Ken Hinckley would still have a job. And they've now obviously re-signed him and, you know, he's done really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was going to say, Port Adelaide made that.
Zona, I can only see him improving.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about how Adelaide, you know, can't get much worse other than not winning a game. I don't see how Port Adelaide will get a lot better in the next 2 to 3 years. I think they've got a really interesting 22 where they've got it's a very old 22 and then a very young 22. There's not much in between.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that at some stage, if it's not this coming year, the year after, we might see them sort of peter off to the, you know, bottom of the eight, just miss out on the eight. And then after 2 or 3 more years into these young guys that we keep talking about, we'll then be ready to go bang again. So it's an interesting makeup because they're going to lose a lot of guys like Boak and Robbie Gray. Westhoff's now gone. Lysette would have to be getting reasonably close, you know.
He's probably got another 4, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe 4. So he'll be, by the time they get to another 2 years, he's at the very end of his career and he's easing his way through it, sort of thing. So, you know, I do think that they've got maybe this year coming, and then I think we might see him just sort of flatten off a little bit. And then as the young guys develop, I think we'll see him bounce back pretty quick.
All right, next up we have the Hawthorn Football Club, the once mighty Hawthorn Football Club. They finished 15th this year with 5 wins and 12 losses. Now, the Corona line for this one was 8.5. So, Zano, once again, you and I got it wrong. We went over. And DOS, once again, got it right. He went under there. How did you see the Hawks? And I'm curious as to what your thoughts on their current list and what they need.
Look, it's quite similar. We've spoken a bit about Adelaide. We spoke a bit about North Melbourne. I think they've now realised they've got to strip back and start again. Yep. So they're finally, I think for the first time we've seen in a long time, they're going to the draft. They aren't even looking like giving up, pick three, it must be. And they're not even considering trading that for anybody, which is not Hawthorn, you know. They would normally split that into 3 first-round picks, trade 2 of them, you know. So they're gonna looks like, try and get some youth and inject some youth into that team. So, look, I don't expect much from them in the next couple of years, and we'll just have to see how Clarkson turns the tables.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, obviously, Sicily's out for the whole season. He did his ACL, unfortunately, late in season 2020. And Frawley and Stratton have both retired. So there's a bit of, a bit of a dearth of talent down back. I know they recruited Kyle Hardigan.
Yeah.
So they've got him and they've got Sam Frost down back. The thing about Hawthorn, Zano, is their good players are still very good. So you've got Mitchell and O'Meara and Shields and those sorts of players running through the middle. I did like the look of a couple of their kids that managed to get a little bit of extra time or extra games in this year because of the injuries and that sort of stuff, and Clarkson playing the youth. So I agree with you, Zano. I think the next year or so is going to be quite tough. But I think they've definitely got the structure and the regime to come out of it positive in perhaps two to three years and be pushing back on the, you know, knocking the door for the eight.
So my big question is, when does what's his name, Mitchell, take over the reins from Clarkson? Sam Mitchell, that is.
Oh, Sam Mitchell. I'm thinking Tom Mitchell's not.
No, Sam coach. Mitchell.
So he's been appointed coach of Box Hill.
Yep.
This year.
They're twos.
So he will get the opportunity to coach his own team, which is something I think you need to be a coach in the AFL. I think you need that experience of being the one making all the decisions and that sort of thing. I don't know whether Hawthorn is going to be the right club for him. I could see him. I think North Melbourne would have loved to have picked him up and got him to coach this year. Maybe in 2 or 3 years. If he's dead set on coaching Hawthorn, then it's 2 or 3 years away. But if not, I think he could take his pick of coaching jobs in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he'll be coaching Hawthorn for 2023.
Or big calls.
Yeah, Arch in a couple, Clark's in a couple more years. I reckon there may also be a, what do they call it, a plan.
One of those big Malthouse Nathan Buckley succession plans.
Succession plans, that's the one, without actually telling everyone, you know?
Yep.
So I think they'd be silly to let him go, because by all reports, he's exceptional. So, yep. All right, Arch, that moves us on to Essendon. Now, they finished 13th for the year with 6 wins, 10 losses and a draw. And they started the year off pretty hot and died in the second half of the year, didn't they? So you set the line at Corona Bowl of 8.8 with their 6 wins. You took the over. And both me and Doss took the under. How do you see
that? Yeah, look, it's interesting, Zano. If I recall correctly, you might have had your Nostradamus hat on here. You said something internally at the club just doesn't seem quite right. And I think that's played out this year. We've got people leaving left, right, and center. It's really interesting, Zano. Essendon are a fascinating club at the moment, because you've got people jumping ship all over the place,
and you've
also got people wanting to come into the club.
It's
really quite interesting.
I always say this, that when whatever beat up you hear from the media, generally it's never that bad or it's never that good. So it's something in between. You're right. Look, Essendon lost Danaher, but they knew that was going to happen. Fantasia's asked to go home, but we all knew that he was trying to get back to Adelaide the year before anyway. So those two guys never played football this year, or played very little football
The last 2 years.
Yeah, Danaher definitely. I think Fantasia this year. So there's no real loss there for him. And then you've got Saad, who I'm stoked going to Carlton, but also the reports are he's frustrated because he got asked to defend at times. So, you know, is there attitude problems there? And you think about it and you think, geez, they must be an absolute mess. And then you hear of stories of like guys like Jai Caldwell, Dunkley, and even Peter Wright today wanting to go to Essendon. And you think, well, things can't be that bad. I mean, there's some...
No, that's exactly
two in
right.
particular, there's some really good footballers there trying to get into Essendon at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there, we talk about succession plans. I think theirs was a strange one. And John Worsfold, the last 2 years of his coaching career, showed no real emotion either, which was a bit strange for him. So I don't know where they're at, but, you know,
is going to depend on this trade period.
Yeah, look, they need to get those deals done one way or the other. We spoke about it earlier. There was a lot being held up because of the Saad thing. And we'll just have to wait and see how it goes from there.
Yeah, well, by the time you listen to the podcast, it may all be done and dusted, Zano.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath, but yeah, something needs to move, that's for sure.
All right, moving on next to another really interesting team for the year, the Western Bulldogs. Now, they finished 7th with 10 wins and 7 losses and lost the elimination final to St Kilda. I set the line at 10.4 Corona Bowl, which is quite high. But everyone was really bullish on the Bulldogs, pun not intended, at the start of the season. And that was obvious in our predictions. We all went the over, and Zeno, you said that they were the smoky for the flag, which, let's face it, they could have got on a run much as they did in 2016 and go all the way. But we all got that one wrong. And, I mean, the line was 10.4 and they won 10, so it was pretty spot on the line. So how did you see the Bulldogs season, mate?
Yeah, they're just a, I don't know how to put them. I guess the way I just, when I look at their team, they're just a blah team, you know? Mm. I mean, I love Bontempelli, I love McRae, I love Lachie Hunter, I love some of the forwards they've got, some of the defenders, you know, I love all these players, but then I watch them in a game of football and nothing excites me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
They've got this super quick, super strong, super hard team, and sometimes they just play lazy football. A lot of the time they play lazy football. I mean, you've got talk now about Dunkley wanting to leave because of some of the issues and the way players were acting in the club. I think he just wants to leave because he doesn't want to be a ruckman. He wants to be a midfielder. Yes. But even that, you know, the thoughts of putting Dunkley in the ruck, it's just mind-boggling, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, their list, I love their list, and I think their list is, on paper, one of the best-looking lists in the competition. But they just can't get it together, can they?
No. No. Well, as I say, they went on that miracle run in 2016, but just haven't been able to replicate it.
Mm.
I do. I'm a bit like you, Zana. I really like their list. I like Bailey Smith. They've got a good spread of ages from the experienced players. You've got, you know, your Libbers and those sorts of guys that have been around for 7 or 8 years. All the way down to your rookies like Bailey Smith and Tim English being a young ruckman.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see it looks like Steph Martin's going to go just to provide a bit of mentoring and give Tim English a bit of a chop out in the ruck there, rather than having to use, I guess, you know, pinch hit people like Dunkley and those sorts of guys there as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, they got some work to do there. There's a few holes on the list, but, yeah, they just need to find a way to plug them, don't they? All right, talk about being great on paper and disappointing us. Let's move over to the Greater Western Sydney. Now, they finished 10th for the year.
Yep.
Wins 8, 9 losses. You set the line at 10.4. Now, we all went overs on that, and I think most people would have gone the overs on that. Not many predicted that drop away. What's going on there, Arch?
Well, look, Zano, spoiler alert for part three of the Over Under podcast. You and I both predicted them to win the flag.
Yes.
So we were stupidly off with that. So, look, I don't know. That club has got salary cap issues. They've got people wanting to leave issues. The hard thing is now they used to lose players that have been there for 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
So we're talking your Shields, your Treloars, those sorts of guys. They're now losing their, obviously, Cameron, he's been there for 9 years, so that's going to be a massive loss there. Potentially, he's the best player that they've had
in their history,
you know. Him and Toby Green, I think, would be the ones that would be up there.
Yep.
But they now got Caldwell and Hatley wanting to move off, move over. And
they've lost Williams.
Yeah, Williams is already gone. Langdon's come across to West Coast, which, whilst won't be a massive loss, it's still, their struggle was always going to be to maintain or to retain those good players there. And it's going to be, it's going to be tough. They've got Braden Pruce going there, which will be a big improvement in the ruck department, I don't think.
That's a huge hole that they've had, and they've tried to plug with a couple of guys that didn't work. Hogan, as you said, it's high risk. But I mean, it's not costing them squat to have him, of course. So it's worth the risk, but you know, this list that we saw as the Ferrari, which we all expected to win 2 or 3 flags by now, they're now taking that risk, you know? They're having to take risks on guys like Hogan, hoping it pays off to give themselves a chance to win that flag. So it doesn't bode well for me when you're going down that path, I don't think.
Yeah, they've still got a great list, though, Zane. You've still got Toby Green, you've got Taranto, you've got Cornelio, you've got Josh Kelly, all those guys. You've got Nick Haynes down back. You've still got Phil Davis there. Heath Shaw's the other one. He's been moved on.
Retired, yeah.
He hasn't retired.
No.
He wasn't off contract.
I don't think anyone will offer him one.
So.
And that's right. You've got guys, also young guys like Perryman running around and guys like that that are really starting to show something as well. But yeah, I just don't think the Ferrari's the Ferrari anymore. I think it's been downgraded somewhat. Not a lot, but enough to be concerned by.
Moving on now to my team, Zano, the mighty West Coast Eagles. Now, they finished 5th with 12 wins and 5 losses, losing to Collingwood in the elimination final over here in Western Australia. The Corona Ball line for that one was 11.2, so I was pretty close. They finished on 12. Yep. Unfortunately, I went the under, as did you, as did Doss.
Yep.
So we all got Big Fat Donuts, and if you're keeping track, we've got Big Fat Donuts for about the last three or four. Yeah, or the last three teams. None of us have got any right.
No.
I obviously, my talk is a little bit biased when it comes to West Coast, but you, Zana, how did you see the West Coast season?
Yeah, they, unfortunately, they didn't get Hub Life right.
Not to start with.
And even sort of towards the end and that, they still struggled with it somewhat. That cost them the season. Look, it's going to be interesting where they are going forward. We know the age of their list is right up there now. They've probably got maybe one more go at it, maybe two, and then you'd expect them to sort of... And you've mentioned this before too, Arch, is they're not great at developing youth either. That's not their strong point, I guess. So, look, it was a strange year from the Eagles. Very interested to see where their list goes to in the next 2 years, though. So they've got a lot of work to do to get their list back to a non-ageist list, if that makes sense.
Yeah, look, they've done more this year in terms of playing kids. So Oscar Allen basically cemented his team, his spot in the team, and he's a fantastic player. They gave a game or two, I think, to Bailey Williams. There was a couple of young mids that got games here and there. So I think this year was better than most in developing that. There was no out-and-out champions that I saw. I think Oscar Allen will be solid, but let's face it, he's not going to replace... they're probably looking at him to replace Josh Kennedy in a year or two.
Yep.
And he'll be solid, and he'll probably be marginally better than what Josh Kennedy is at this point, but I can't see him being as good as what Josh Kennedy was at his peak. But then again, not many people are.
No. That's big shoes.
Yeah, I'm always optimistic, but again, I've got my Eagles-coloured glasses on there, so I'm always optimistic about it. They'll be there and abouts next year, and again, it just takes putting a run together at the right time.
Absolutely, I think you're right. I think they're definitely going to be thereabouts next year. I'd be shocked if they didn't still make the eight. In my mind at the moment, they're probably between that fifth and eighth spot again. But... yeah, what happens after that as age catches up with them will be very interesting. So,
yep.
But that's the cycle of an AFL football team, unless you're Geelong, who we'll get to later. Yeah. all right, Arch, so that moves us on to a bit of the fun stuff. Now, this will be a bit of a quick fire because there's not much to have to worry about talking about here. Now, the first question we had, who will have the higher ADP in ultimate football? Will it be McRae or Lachie Whitfield? McRae averaged 6, Whitfield averaged 8. Arch, you said Whitfield. I said Whitfield, and if people aren't doing that, they're just not doing it properly. And for some reason, Doss is a blank, which I don't understand why. So
yeah, that was because I forgot to go back and listen to the episode and write in what he picked. I'm going to say that he went Whitfield, though.
I would say the same.
That was the general consensus at the time.
I think it was. So yeah, we got that one wrong because McRae went higher. What was the right call in the end, Arch?
the silent, that's tough, Zano. There's only one spot in between them. So, look, I don't think it really mattered which one you got. You would have been pretty happy with it. I would have to marginally give it to Whitfield because of his forward status.
Agree. I would have to marginally give it to Whitfield because of his forward status as well, because we knew how bad the forwards were this year.
Yep.
All right, Arch. Up next, we've got Tom Mitchell, sorry, versus Josh Kelly. What's that for?
So this is ADP.
Oh, ADP, of course. Still on ADP, of course, yes. Tom Mitchell had a 6.8. Josh Kelly had a 10.3. You said Kelly would go higher. I said Kelly would go higher. And Doss said Mitchell would go higher. Mitchell went a lot higher.
Yes.
Our question is, again, who was the better pick?
It'd have to be Mitchell.
You reckon?
Yep.
I cannot remember what they averaged. I think Mitchell probably played more games, but I reckon Josh Kelly would have had to have averaged more.
Ooh, please hold and I'll find out.
I need to try and... Tell you what, you look for Kelly, I'll look for Mitchell.
Okay, here we go. Josh Kelly, 84.9.
Yeah, Tom Mitchell. Please hold, it's coming. Come on.
85.8. That's all right, I've got it there.
Oh, you've got it there. So what was 84.8, 85.8?
Tom Mitchell was just marginally better.
Yeah, okay. So, no, well, Tom Mitchell wins that because Josh Kelly missed games as well, if I remember rightly. Yep. So that was the right call to take him earlier. All right, Dustin Martin, who went at 21.2, or Rory Laird at 23.8. You thought Laird would be higher. Both me and Doss said Martin.
Yep.
So not much between
them.
This is
an interesting one as well, Zano. Who do you reckon got it right out of this one?
I'd have to give it to Dusty Martin. Again, because of the issues with the forward lines arch we've had this year, most guys were able to find reasonably good defenders throughout the year, but didn't struggle. I mean, in some leagues, I was streaming forwards just about every week to try and field something. So I would have had all thought to take that. Even though the scoring wouldn't have been much difference, I reckon
I just
that,
had a look. Laird was 5 points a game more.
Yeah, so, but again, the lack of decent players in the forward line, I would have probably chosen Martin myself.
Yep.
In that. Cool. Now, last one for ADPs. This is a shocker. Scott Lysette or Rowan Marshall? Scott Lysette went at 99. Rowan Marshall went at 36. You and Doss both said Marshall. For some stupid reason, I said Scott Lysette. So, that was a no-brainer in the end.
Yep.
And Marshall was well and truly the right call there. That, like, shouldn't have ever been Scott Lysette, ever.
Yeah, I think we all got infatuated a little bit by the scoring towards the end of the season of Lysette in 2019.
Oh, I definitely did.
But, yeah, obviously the proof was in the pudding there.
Yeah, and he got injured as well throughout the year, which didn't help his scoring this year. But, that was a... Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that one. That was a stupid, stupid call.
And Zano, now for my favourite part of the podcast. Now, the last 2 years with our good friend Cam from the Draft Doctors, you can follow him at the Potato Bake on Twitter. We've had the annual Dom off, and we've done it for the last 2 years. And in 2019, I won it quite easily there with Dom Tyson only playing 3 games. Turns out that was 3 more games than he was going to play in 2020. Dom Tyson did not even get on the park.
No.
Now, unfortunately, what that meant for the great Domoff was that Dom Tyson didn't get an average, and because the bet was on average AFL's fantasy scoring, the whole thing was null and void. So we didn't get our carton of beer for the grand final this year.
Yeah, technicalities, Arch. As far as I'm concerned, Cam's sooking out there. mate. A no score and a zero is the same thing. So, sorry, Cam, but no, I can't back you on that one, mate. You're backing out of a pretty obvious win there. But, you know, if that's what you need to use, that's what you need to use.
So we're all pretty confident there in the hashtag Sheet Island. So all three of us got the tick for that one.
Yep.
And the last one that we had with our good mate Doss in part two was who will finish higher in overall ranking for AFL fantasy? And that was between me, you, Zano, Doss, and the said draft doctor, Cam. Now, we all obviously all backed ourselves in. I actually had a horrendous year, finished 9,227th. Doss, he had a good year for what Doss normally does.
He did,
honest.
Actually.
I don't think you'll mind me saying that. Finishing just over 3,600. But you, Zano, had the ripper year at 1,856, so you backed yourself in and came away with the chocolates.
Yeah, solid year. I wouldn't say it was a ripper year. I had a shocking start, Arch. I've said this before, where I was at one stage ranked out to about 46,000,
yep.
You know, which was just extraordinary. So to even come back into the top, even 2,000 from that far out after about 4 or 5 rounds, I was really stoked with. Could have been better because I was at 1,200 with 2 rounds to go and then a bit of bad luck didn't roll my way. So... hurt me a little bit, but I'll definitely take the chocolates, Arch. And in a very strange year, I think anything inside 2,000 you've got to be very, very happy with.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so that does it for part two of the preview review. This is where we would normally recap the scores, Zona, but I don't know that I want to.
This was an ugly one, Arch. Pathetic. This was really ugly.
So, if you're actually keeping track, and God, why would you? I scored 2 out of 14 this week for a massive 14%. Zona, you were only marginally better with 5 out of 14, so 36%.
Yeah.
But once again, we're both shown up by our guest, with DOS scoring 8 out of 14, so 57% to the DOS Meister. So he definitely wins the week for part two of the Over Under podcast.
Yeah, well done, DOS. I guess you got to win something at some stage. Oh, sorry, I won't be too nasty there.
enough to get invited back next year.
He has. He will have to come back, and we'll show him that you can never back this up 2 years in a row. It doesn't work like that. But not well done. It was it was just a strange 6 teams we just went through, wasn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. All right, Zano, so as always, you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And please, if you are struggling with things, I know there's some positive signs around the country now with coronavirus and that sort of stuff. People are slowly getting life back to normal. But if you are struggling, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. As I mentioned in part one, the NBA season is imminent, so please make sure you follow me on Twitter and check out overthelinesports.com.au for the schedule analysis for Real Dream Team NBA. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss part three, which will be coming up for us in about 10 minutes, but for you guys in a day or so.
Absolutely. Now, you can get me at Otilis Zeno, as we all know. And also make sure you are following DOS at HKDOS on Twitter is the best way to find him. Keep an eye on overlinesports.com.au, brought to you by Check My House Price. Bit of BBL stuff, but we'll get more into that later. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. If you want to delete that episode straight away, I don't think we'll have any problems with that. This is one you prefer not share across your friends. And please don't leave us a rating after this episode. Wait for a better one. Look, thanks again, everybody. We will be back again next day or two with part three.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.